Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me this week, a name that will be familiar to all of our listeners here at Red Leg Nation Radio. Get to say his name every week when he asks generally an irreverent question in viewer mail. It's my friend Joe Farsing. How are you today, Joe?
I am doing well. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you, Chad.
Oh, well, honor, I don't know about that, but it's definitely a pleasure to get a chance to talk to you. This is something that, to kind of set the stage here, Joe and I have talked for a little while over our in our Slack channel about doing some kind of a podcast, and we settled recently on the idea of baseball movies. We were kind of talking about baseball movies in the Slack channel, and that's a passion of mine, obviously, and Joe had some thoughts, and so we thought let's talk about the best baseball movies since the season's getting ready to start, and this is the time of the year when I know I'm eager to watch baseball movies and rewatch them. Joe, tell me a little bit about your love of baseball movies, or where you're coming at from.
Pretty much just a lifelong baseball fan and love movies, so it kind of two passions go hand in hand. Yeah. I mean that's pretty much it. I mean, it's like I said, just the passions, and they're just always mostly enjoyable. And there were a ton of movies that came out when I was between 7 and 13, from Bull Durham up until Sandlot, Rookie of the Year, those movies. So they all just came out in a perfect time for me. So
yeah, big run of movies, and we'll get to basically all those. But you're right, they're in that time frame. All of a sudden, you had the ones for kids like Sandlot and Little Big League and Rookie of the Year, but also from Field of Dreams all the way up, just a really good run. I think that baseball has been the one sport that really translates well to movies for whatever reason. How many classic movies can you think of for other sports? Not many, right? I think some of the ones we're going to talk about, you could consider classics, but if you got
Rape. Unless you want to count Necessary Roughness, and I don't think anybody does.
I love that movie. I need to rewatch that.
Sinbad never gets old.
That's right. Oh, man. I was thinking Raging Bull for boxing, and Rocky, I guess. Boxing had some movies. I don't know. Baseball, for whatever reason, has lent itself. Maybe just because it's the national pastime. So what we did was we kind of cobbled together a list of movies that maybe some people would consider for their top 10. And I went to look at baseball movies, and there are there's a million. And there are a bunch that I didn't put on this list necessarily, because I don't think anyone's going to add these to their top 10 list. But let me see if you've seen any of these. Have you seen a movie called Ed?
I did not. I know about it. I know it's got Joey from Friends, right? And a monkey or a chimp or something.
Right. Yeah. No, I've not seen it either. But that's a baseball movie. That's not going to be. We're not going to discuss that. Do you remember the movie called The Babe, where John Goodman played Babe Ruth? Did you see that one?
Unfortunately, yeah, a long time ago, and it was pretty terrible.
Horrific, just awful. I like John Goodman. He's Walter from The Big Lebowski, but yeah, that movie's awful. The Scout with Brendan Fraser. I never saw that one, but it's a baseball movie, they say. Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac. I did kind of enjoy that because I liked Bernie Mac, but not a great movie.
I watched half of it, lost interest, and never went back. So
yeah. What about Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck? You see that one?
I really like that because it has Serrano and President Palmer, Dennis Haysbert in it. So I actually like that. I think better than most, and better than it's rated.
Yeah, I don't really. I watched it years ago, but I really don't remember it. Had Tom Selleck in it, so anything with Magnum PI is going to be good, right?
The mustache alone knocks it up a couple points above average. So
that's true. That's true. Have you heard of this movie, Everyone's Hero, an animated movie?
I actually watched it a couple years ago with my son flipped it on watching through Netflix, so I am aware of that.
I bet I've seen that movie 30 times. It's really not good, but my son just loved it. And so we had the DVD, and so, you know, when he was tiny, you know, he just wanted to put it on all the time, so we would put it on. It's really not good. One last one, Summer Catch. Freddie Prinze?
Not, and I've heard it's horrible.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either, and I'm going to confess something here. One time, Doug Gray from Red Leg Nation and RedsMinorLeagues.com was on the podcast, and he was mentioning, we've had just a real brief conversation about baseball movies, and he mentioned one that he really liked, and it's one that is, I do like quite a bit, Fever Pitch. And in my head, for some reason, I was thinking about Summer Catch. And so I was mocking his love of Fever Pitch, thinking it was that awful Freddie Prinze movie. I mean, I can assume it's awful. I've not seen it, but I'm going to confess that I made a mistake. The one time I've ever made a mistake.
First time for everything.
That's right. All right, let's get into some movies that we have seen. Well, some of them we've seen, some of them we haven't seen. But all these are, you know, I think in the conversation for top 10 baseball movies of all time. I'm going to start with Field of Dreams. Because that's one that's often cited as a baseball classic. What are your thoughts about Field of Dreams?
That is my number one on my list.
Oh, really?
It kind of hits all the notes. There's the mythical quality of it, and just as a kid, I loved. You know, it was just really cool. You've got ghosts coming out of the cornfield, but the older I get, the more poignant. Story about, you know, fathers and sons, and my dad and I never really got along very well, and after he passed away, it's kind of, you look at the same regrets, you never got to have any closure. So that's, you know, that's definitely one that, especially as I get older and now I have my own kids, you know,
yeah,
definitely hits me differently, and it's my clear favorite.
Oh, that's good. I didn't intend to start at your absolute number one necessarily, but this one was my number one for a long time, and it's kind of dropped down on my list a little bit. It's, I think, number four on my top 10, which is still good, but for the reasons you cited, and just the speech by James Earl Jones about, you know, what baseball is, that's always gotten me. I've said it a number of times, but my buddy Chris Garber, he was making fun of me one day, saying I was called me a gooey Field of Dreams type fan, and I've been that way about baseball, you know, over the years. It's just, you know, it's something that spans every part of my life. And you're right, this movie does kind of, once you become a father, it becomes a different movie in some ways. And you know if you have a father, or especially in my case a grandfather that introduced me to baseball, it's a great movie. Kevin Costner, he looks like he can play. We'll talk about Costner some during this, because that's been one of his genres. But I don't know, I just some people think it's too, I don't know, sugary, I guess, which I guess I understand that, but I think if you love baseball and if you're romantic about baseball, that's the movie. I guess that's the best way I could put it.
Yeah, it's definitely saccharine and kind of fits in with more of a copra type genre. But to me, that's, you know, it's more like the innocence of baseball that's kind of, especially with all the cynicism of, like, you know, surrounding the game now, it's refreshing to throw it on and watch it. So,
yeah, you know, and it makes me think that it pretty well encapsulates the way this country, by and large, the culture thought about baseball up until 1994. How many great baseball movies do we have since 1994? Not many. You know, the cynicism of the strike, and then the, you know, whatever you think of the steroid era, and then now the sabermetric bent of the game. I'm looking down this list, and I don't know that, I think one on my list came out. No, two on my list came out post 1994. That's crazy. So let's move on. Unless there's something else you want to say about Field of Dreams, we could probably talk about Field of Dreams. We could break it down.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that for hours, and I'd still be able to. You'd have to cut me off at some point. So
right. Let's talk about Bull Durham. Now, is Bull Durham on your list?
Definite top five. I would probably put it as two or three. I'm
Yeah.
trying to kind of cutting kind of splitting hairs with Major League.
Right. Bull Durham, to me, it's in my top 10, but it's on the lower end of the top 10.
Interesting.
For some reason, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people would consider this the best, the number one. And I like it. You guys lollygag the ball around the infield. Lollygag your way down the first. Lollygagging it out of the dugout. Lollygaggers. So many great quotes. I mean, it's good. I never bought Susan Sarandon as Annie Savoy for some reason. I don't know, but the movie works, and it's the opposite of Field of Dreams in a lot of ways. Is that fair?
Most definitely. It's I mean, you can go into a whole rant about how terrible Tim Robbins looks trying to pitch baseball, but
Yeah, that's probably my biggest objection, actually. He's supposed to be
more.
the fireballer.
Yeah, that was they should have used Charlie Sheen, stolen him off the set of Major League and brought him over there. He at least looks like he could throw.
Exactly. And that's a good topic, actually, because some of these movies, it's hard to play baseball. And so getting the right actors that can play actually, in some of these movies is what makes it a movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and that's why Costner works so well, and why well, we've got some of these movies, we've got actual players, but I don't know. Bull Durham, I think I probably underrated. Maybe I just need to go watch it again. But Bull Durham, 1988, Ron Shelton, who I think was a minor league player, wrote and directed it. And obviously, Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins, I think they're still married, I believe, and they're both in the movie. So, classic movie, classic movie. You want to pick another one? We don't really have an order we're going in here. We got a list, but I'm kind of bouncing around. Is there one you're dying to talk about? You mentioned Major League a couple times. You want to dive into Major League?
Yeah, I actually just rewatched that the other day.
Well, tell me about it. Does it hold up?
Pretty much. I mean, apparently Charlie Sheen took a lot of steroids to bulk up to make him look like he's a major league pitcher and could apparently throw 85. So that part holds up really, really well.
Really? He could throw that. Could throw 85. I knew he threw hard. I knew
Yeah,
he's.
supposedly he. Well, granted, this is coming from him and.
Right, but
So
still.
take that with a grain of salt, but I mean, he looked the part. So I mean, that's definitely, like we said before, having someone who looks like they know what they're doing is definitely a strong point for at least for the action scene. So I think the comedy still holds up. It's, I mean, I too much of the stupid romance part with Tom Berenger that kind of drags it down, but.
Yeah, Rene Russo. That storyline just kind of is stuck in there, and it doesn't really flow with the rest of the movie, does it? I thought that as a
No,
kid, and I
not at all.
still think it, yeah. But the baseball mostly good. I mean, Roger Dorn over there, Corbin Burnson. I'm not sure he could really play. Wesley Snipes with an immortal character in this movie. Willie Mays Hayes, just an immortal, one of the Inner Circle Hall of Fame baseball movie characters. But how crazy is it that Wesley Snipes is really he couldn't he wasn't an athlete because he tried to do the basketball movie and he wasn't really very good in that.
Yeah, from what I heard, I'm like the scene where he's running in his pajamas, they had to do in slow motion because he was so slow that there's no other way to make it look realistic.
Yeah. Willie Mays Hayes was slow? What? But what a great character, tacking his batting gloves up on the wall, and I haven't seen it probably in a year or two, but I did watch it a couple of years ago, I guess it was, for the first time in a while, and I gotta tell you, there were lots of laughs still in there.
I think it might be the funniest baseball movie.
I'm looking down the list, and there's one or two that I might put in that category, but maybe for just sort of consistent belly laughs. It's a good one, man. Joe Boo, and oh my gosh, so many great characters. in that movie. So you think that you think this year's Reds are going to put a like a you know a cardboard cutout of Bob Castellini in the clubhouse?
I was thinking Marge Schott, go old school.
I don't know which is worse. yikes.
All right. I think they'll go in reverse, though, to every win they tack an article of clothing back on.
There you go.
So by the end of the day, they look like a Sherpa going for a you know 4-week sojourn in the Himalayas.
right. Please, we got to have more games. We got to get more clothing on this, the cutout. Okay, so I think, let's see, Major League and Bull Durham, both in my top 10, and I'll talk about my top 10, full top 10. Here's one I want to talk about, and a lot of people haven't seen this, and I think that you and I both have seen this one. Let me know otherwise, but Everybody Wants Some with 2 exclamation points. You've seen that, right?
I love that. Oh, of course. Love it. What did Linklater say? It's kind of like the spiritual successor to Dazed and Confused, which is easily my most rewatchable movie. The players look like they know how to play baseball, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, this movie came out in 2016, and again, it's Richard Linklater, who, you know, one of my favorite directors, Dazed and Confused, Boyhood. I mean, just a fantastic director. And it, I don't know, it kind of came and went. Maybe because it's got a bunch of actors who are not particularly well-known. But part of that is because they can play baseball. And it's essentially just it's a comedy. And you get this group of college baseball players. And you got the you know one or two coming in as freshmen. And just kind of follows them around. And there's not a ton of actual baseball in it. But baseball's kind of central to it. And it's really, really... that's what I really want to rewatch. Let me see if that's... It's not streaming anywhere. I can't tell.
I can never find it on anything. Hulu, you know. I'm just gonna have to buy the darn thing so I can keep watching it.
Yeah, I may have to get the Blu-ray on that one. That's it really. And I guarantee that most people that are listening to this right now have not seen that. At least that's my sense. And clearly, it's in my top 10. Does it make your top 10?
Probably top 5. Because it's newer. I categorize it aside, but yeah, I think it might be in the top 5.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really good. A movie that you know, it's not in my top 10 that I probably underrate. I feel guilty not putting in my top 10 was The Natural. What are your thoughts about The Natural?
I go back and forth. Like, I think I want to love it more than I do, if that makes sense. It kind of hits everything that I want in a movie, but again, I think it's just a lot of these movies, they add a romance angle that just kind of drags it down.
Yeah, you know, Robert Redford's great in it, obviously. I mean, I like Robert Redford. Kim Basinger is fantastic. Barbara Hershey and, you know, that whole thing. I don't know. The baseball stuff, there's a ton of what we talked about with Field of Dreams, right? Kind of the gooey love baseball stuff, you know. But
yeah, and that's I do love the you know the more mythical, magical part. But again, Robert Redford looks like he can play baseball, but I think some of the other guys, you know,
yeah,
I should love it more than I do. So it's in my top 10, but I understand, you know, that it's not yours.
Yeah, I just it's one that I watched again not too long ago as well, and it is what it is. It's a good movie. I like it. I recommend it, but I don't know. I just when you think about that movie, you think about the big scene where you know the lights explode, obviously, and I guess you think of maybe of the one where he strikes out the Babe Ruth type character when he's a kid. But other than that, every movie we've talked about so far, I think they've got these rewatchable scenes, you know, that you can kind of think about or lots of quotes, and I don't have any for The Natural other than that finish, I guess.
Yeah, and what's the quote he talked about? Wants to walk down the street and someone said, "There goes Roy Hobbs, the best baseball player ever."
Right.
That's a great quote. But
it is a great quote, but they, you know, stole it from Ted Williams. So
right, exactly.
but yeah, that is a good quote. That's the only one I could probably think of.
can I throw one out there? And I don't know if it qualifies or not.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of baseball in it. What about Naked Gun?
Oh, Naked Gun.
There's probably more baseball in there than in Field of Dreams. Probably more baseball, actual baseball being played than everybody wants to. Does that count?
Well, sure it counts. Yeah, I guess I didn't have it on my list written here. But yeah, absolutely. It's a baseball movie. And actually some of the, you talk about rewatchable scenes and the scene of Leslie Nielsen as an umpire, acting goofy and...
That's Enrico Palazzo.
That's Enrico Palazzo. Yeah, I mean, gosh. Oh, my gosh. That movie is just... that movie came out at a time when I guess I was probably a teenager, and I just thought that was that type of humor was just the funniest thing.
The bloopers for me are the best part. You've got the guy, what is he, ranging back to field a ball, and a tiger comes and attacks him.
Right. Yeah, just completely ludicrous.
Guy scales the wall and his head falls off.
Right. There was nothing too goofy to go in there. It's so funny. And I actually, I teach a class on criminal law, and I use a scene from that movie to not a baseball scene, but just to illustrate one of the concepts in criminal law. That is that's a good one. I didn't think of that one, but I think you've got it. I mean, it's not about baseball, but a lot of these movies aren't about baseball. Field of Dreams really is not about baseball, if you think.
Yeah, it's just the setting or the part of the backdrop to it. So it was one I didn't even think about when I was putting together my list, but someone said something about it, I'm like, holy crap, I think that fits.
Yeah. Yeah, it counts. That's in there. I may have to revise my top 10. That might make it. Let's see. Any other one you want to throw out?
We got to go to the kid one. So Sandlot, definitely the best of the lot that came out. And in 2 years they had four movies that came, kid-ish movies. And I think that one's clearly the best.
Sandlot.
Little Big League. Yeah, Little Big League Rookie of the Year and Angels in the Outfield. So
yeah, Angels in the Outfield, right? I got to admit, I've never seen Angels in the Outfield. Should I see it?
I think it's better than the one that came out in the 50s or 60s. I can't remember when the one came out that it was with the Pirates or whatever. And I think it's better. I mean, if you can add Tony Danza to any movie, it definitely doesn't hurt things.
He's the boss.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, I think you're right. Of that group, Sandlot's clearly the best, right? I mean, it holds up. It's so rewatchable more than just about any movie on this list, especially once you have kids.
Yeah, my son loves it. I'm trying to get my daughter to watch it, but I can't get her off of watching terrible crap on YouTube. So that's my next project.
Hey, good luck with that one. Good luck with that. I didn't see Sandlot when it came out. I didn't see Sandlot until I had a son. Is that crazy? I don't know how I missed it.
It came out, I think I'm probably about the same age as the kids in the movie. So I was, I was in, probably came out in 93, so I would have been in seventh grade. So it was, I don't think I caught it in the movie theaters, but it just kind of catches them, the mythical qualities of baseball, how they talk about Babe Ruth and everything. So it's, definitely it's a fun movie to watch.
Yeah. The Salt and the SWAT. I'm looking, it did come out in 1993, and it is, I'm going to show our difference in ages, because that was my first year of college. And I guess I had other things going on than watching a kid's movie, even though I love baseball. I never caught up with it. And then, after didn't see it when it first came out. When was I going to until I had a son? But now we've seen it 100 times since then. Not literally, but close to it. And we had a really good time. My son's baseball team, his coaches decided they were going to rent out a movie theater. And got the whole team together and watched The Sandlot. And that was fantastic. Kids loved it. I mean, it was really just listening to them react to it. And some of them hadn't even seen it, but the ones that had, knew all the quotes, And this one's one that got a bunch of quotes as well. I mean, this is... And a bunch of kind of rewatchable scenes that hold up. You're killing me, Smalls.
The best part is the game between the kind of snotty kids and the Sandlot kids.
Yeah.
If my dog were as ugly as you, I'd shave his butt and make him walk backwards.
Right. Yeah, the great Hambino back behind the plate. just hammering.
He was the best. He was absolutely the best. You know, like Benny the Jet was the best player, but you can't walk away from the movie and saying that Hambino wasn't the best, at least character of that movie.
Oh, my goodness. And that kid, you know, I heard someone say that if he just came along at the wrong time, if he came along a few years later, he probably has Jonah Hill's career. That kid was good.
I heard that same thing in a podcast I just listened to. So
yeah. So, but again, James Earl Jones.
I cheated on the World's Most Dangerous Podcast, but
yeah, you just admitted it. I can't believe it. Well, I did too. So
I know.
You know, and something that I think that same podcast was talking about, how did none of those kids become, you know, have a career?
Yeah. The only other one that I can think of there was, who was the pitcher, Kenny, the kid who wore the Kansas City Monarchs hat. He was in like Mighty Ducks and I think a couple episodes of The Fresh Prince.
Oh yeah.
And Hambino was in a few movies and he disappeared, but yeah, there should have been a couple of the kids that, turned out to be something, because most of them were pretty good, pretty good actors. So I don't understand it.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, oh, such great character. Squints. What a great character Squints was. You know, I mean, just what a classic movie.
The best advice I can give you is to not ever watch the sequels.
I've not seen the sequels, and I did want to mention that because a couple of these movies have sequels. Really, they're that bad.
I've watched part of the second one. The third one involves Luke Perry and going back in time or something. So just on premise alone, it sounds like hot garbage.
I don't know. That sounds pretty good to me.
Dylan, whatever his name is, from 90210, in a baseball movie going back in time. Yeah. What can go wrong?
Yeah, really. Maybe not. Oh, The Sandlot. Yeah, it hits the, we were having a conversation on the Twitters, which again, don't ever go on Twitter, but yesterday about wiffle ball and, playing wiffle ball and the rules you use. And this movie, it's set, in the early 60s. And you say you were the same age of the kids, but there's kind of that timeless thing. If you're, there was a huge, I don't know that it happens anymore, but there, getting out, and we didn't play baseball. We played wiffle ball, really, but just that feeling of being a kid, and it's the summer and you got a group of your friends and you're all playing ball. I don't know that kids do that as much these days. Maybe they do. But that's where it hit with me, just that sort of sense of being a kid and having, whole days taken up by this activity, this sport. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's what we did a lot growing up. I had a couple older brothers, and the neighborhood we grew up in was it was a pretty large neighborhood, so there were always a ton of kids. And every day in the summer, we'd either play a game in someone's backyard, or if the weather was, or if it was muddy, we lived right next to a cul-de-sac, so someone actually painted bases in the cul-de-sac so we could play, on the blacktop. So
nice. Yeah, when I purchased our current home, I literally bought there's a lot behind it. And somebody's like, you need to buy that so nobody builds on it. And I was like, well, okay. But then I looked at it and I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to buy it because what a great wiffle ball field. And my son was young, and that's my son and my daughter as well. My daughter played softball through high school, and played, travel softball. My son is still playing baseball. He's in high school now and just loves baseball. And it's a neighborhood where a lot of kids their ages, and I don't think there's ever been maybe one or two wiffle ball games out there. I've been so disappointed. They play pickup basketball. They get together and do other things, but I've been disappointed we haven't had more wiffle ball in my backyard. I'm lamenting the fact that even kids and all these kids around here play baseball. They love baseball. I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe it's just this.
Maybe it's just the crazy old man Dotson South.
Yeah. It's me on my back deck out here. Come play ball in my yard, kids. Maybe that scares them off. I can see that, actually. All right. Do you want to talk quickly about those other Little Big League and Rookie of the Year? I thought Rookie of the Year was the best of of those two. That's my opinion. I like that one. It was funny.
I have to disagree with you. I know you usually, anyone who disagrees with you, you immediately kick them off, but
that's all right. I'll give you a pass.
I think who's the actor? Thomas, whatever, one of the kids from American Pie. I think he looked like he had never seen a baseball before in his life. Gary Busey is prominently involved, which is a strike against it.
That's a strike against it? What? Rowan, that kid was in American Pie. That's right, Rowan Gartner.
Yeah, Henry Rowan Gartner. And then at the end of the game, when he's back to being, just a normal kid who can't throw 185 miles an hour, he's wearing jeans playing like in an actual Little League game.
Oh no, he's that kid.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it now, and I think maybe you're right, because I think maybe just in my memory, really the only thing I can remember about it is what's his name, Daniel Stern.
Daniel Stern. Okay.
Calling him all kinds of crazy names, Garden Hoser and whatever else, and I remember thinking that was funny. This one's 1993, and I think I saw it at the time, but missed the Sandlot. So you think Little Big League is better? Little Big League came out the next year.
Yeah, I mean, it had Ken Griffey Jr., it had Randy Johnson, it had actual major league players that don't look like cartoons.
I'm looking now, and the ratings are about the same. Neither of them get very good ratings.
Not that the premise was any more believable, a 12-year-old kid inheriting a baseball team and then managing it, but...
Yeah, well,
I think it's because Junior was literally the coolest ball player that ever lived, and him being prominently involved in the climax of the movie just ratcheted it up a couple notches for me.
Yeah, I can see that. Leon Durham was in it.
Yeah, he was on the Twins. They had Kevin Elster with him. They had legitimate Brad Leslie. Brad the Animal Leslie was one of the relief pitchers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I see that. Oh, wow. I didn't remember that.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, Jeff Garland was in it, who's likable, and a link to another movie, another baseball movie that we both have already talked about our love for. Timothy Busfield is in it, who plays
he was a slugging first baseman.
Yeah, he was the awful...
That might be the biggest stretch, but...
Right. The awful brother-in-law in Field of Dreams, Timothy Busfield.
But he was Poindexter in Revenge of the Nerds, so there's some redeeming quality.
There you go, exactly. So what a career for that guy. So as I look back, the Sandlot, man, is really outpaces those... although now I could see, at some point, little young Kenny Castellini or something, I don't know what his name is, some 7-year-old grandson. I could see him managing the Reds at some point, the way Castellini has managed the Reds. I don't.
Your 10th birthday, you become senior advisor or executive VP.
Exactly right. Yeesh. All right, so Little Big League and Rookie of the Year probably not going to be on anybody's top 10 list, I guess. Although maybe, I don't know. If you like it, you like it. Let's see. You got another one, or you want me to throw one out?
You can throw one out.
What about this one? And I've only seen it one time years ago, and so you tell me. And I liked it, and I need to rewatch it. But the Bingo Long Traveling All Stars and Motor Kings. Have you seen that one?
Same. It's probably been 10, 15 years, but the actors in it were absolutely, A-list. You had Billy Dee Williams, James Earl Jones, and Richard Pryor.
Yeah, yeah. It was about a Negro League pitcher, Bingo Long, and basically they go barnstorming. And I remember really, really liking it, and, pretty good ratings, but it's been so long. I need to rewatch that one. So
it's another movie that you can't find anywhere. But yeah, I mean, the premise is great. It's a story that no one really, no one really tells outside of documentaries, the Negro League teams that, So the best part is the uniforms that you line them all up and it's like one complete picture going across.
Yeah.
You almost need to see the picture to describe it to people who haven't seen the movie. But.
Exactly, exactly. And this is what the third or fourth James Earl Jones movie that we've talked about so far.
What I heard was he actually doesn't like baseball, which is really, really disappointing.
That is.
He's in three of the best baseball movies ever, and
yeah. This one, he's in Sandlot, he's in Field of Dreams. Yeah, that's disappointing. But this is one I'm looking at, and it's not streaming anywhere. That's one that I really want to revisit. I mean, Billy Dee Williams and Richard Pryor. I mean, I'll watch any movie with those two guys in it. Come on. So, the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars of Motor King. So, not going to be my top 10, but maybe not because of the merit of it, just because it's been a while. Let's see. Yeah. What? Eight Men Out.
That one's a tough one because it completely mythicizes the White Sox. And, hey, guess what? The Reds were a really good team, too. They easily could have won the World Series. So, I've seen it. The actors, it's got a great cast. With John Cusack, Charlie Sheen, David Strait there, who's fantastic in pretty much everything. But
yeah,
it over-mythicizes. Maybe not mythicizes, but,
Yeah.
It's not like this was the very best team ever and they should have rolled ever and everyone just, Charles Comiskey was complete, hey, guess what? You took money from gamblers. You guys were in the wrong.
Right. I've always wanted to write the book or make the movie. Just trying to make the case that the Reds were actually the better team. I think you can make that case, but I'm not sure anybody wants to read that book. But directed by John Sayles, who also directed one of my favorite movies, Mate Juan. But he's also in the movie. John Sayles is playing Ring Lardner, the sports writer. I don't know. I like it. It's one that I watched. I don't know, but the last year or two, and you're absolutely right. It goes over the top on this is the best team that ever lived. Basically, they're trying to get you to believe. But good cast. I don't know. I like the way they did. I think who's the guy that played Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Is that DB Cooper?
DB Sweeney.
DB Sweeney. Yes, sir. DB Cooper was the hijacker.
Exactly. Outstanding.
Close enough.
But I thought he was pretty good, not because he could play, but just I thought the Shoeless Joe story to me was always one that was just, it's just sad,
Yeah.
And I thought, and maybe that just depends on your perspective of it, but it just seemed like a guy who kind of got pulled into it, but then maybe didn't participate, but got the same punishment. And D.B. Cooper here, played that role well. I thought he made me feel sorry for him, and I think I wanted to feel sorry for him. I guess if that makes any sense.
Doesn't that make him worse? He took money from the gamblers and didn't even throw the series.
That's true. He's dishonest. Come on.
Right. I mean, he's playing both sides, so he can try to look. He wasn't this innocent idiot rube that they make him out to be, that just wanted to play baseball. I mean, he took money. He didn't have to take the money. You could have just I don't know. More complex situation. I get it. You don't want to go against mob backed gamblers. I get it. So.
Well, hot take. We got a Shoeless Joe truther here. Wow. Trying to slam Shoeless Joe. You're right. That's funny. Another Charlie Sheen movie? That's two Charlie Sheen baseball movies here. And Charlie Sheen, supposedly, I guess he's a Reds fan. Not supposedly, he is a Reds fan. Perhaps not the type of fan you want to sit next to at a game. But or to associate with your fan base. But he's one of the ones...
You definitely have a lot of powdered sugar for your funnel cakes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Don't take a bite of, if he offers you some of his funnel cake, don't just pass on that, unless that's your thing.
Why is he sorting funnel cake on a mirror with a razor blade? I don't understand it. Right. Weirdest thing.
Oh, mercy. And about Charlie Sheen, he's one of this tiny group. I guess who else is in there with Kevin Costner that can actually play the game, that have been in some of these some of these movies. There's not that many actual actors, you know, who can actually play the game, I think, right?
Not that I've seen in more than one. There was in Everybody Wants Some, who the McReynolds, I think. I can't remember what the character's name was, but he was the guy with the Keith Hernandez looking mustache. He looked like he could play, but yeah, those are about the only two that have been in more than one.
Yeah, not a whole lot. So, all right, there's two more movies that I really want to talk about in some amount of depth, and actually three, and then we'll see if there's any that you want to talk about. The first of those is The Bad News Bears. And I'm talking about the original Bad News Bears, of course. Now, this is top five for me. What are your thoughts on the original Bad News Bears, Walter Matthau?
Definitely better than the remake, but it has been probably 25 years since I've seen it. And I tried to watch it, you know, knowing that this was coming up, and I couldn't find it anywhere to, you know, bring back up my memory. So
yeah, I don't see it streaming either anywhere. That's unfortunate. I don't know. Just it's crazy. It's ridiculous. You know, Walter Matthau, young Tatum O'Neill, Jackie Haley as the immortal, probably the greatest baseball player in any movie, Kelly Leak. I don't know. It's just it's you know, the kids are drinking beer in the dugout. It's different, but I saw it probably as a teenager, I guess. I mean, it came out in 76, so I certainly didn't see it when it came out because I was still in diapers. Of course, I was in diapers until I was 22. That's not anyway.
Bad news. -4. That makes you feel better.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. but I don't know. It just it's one that I kind of revisited over the years, and it's just funny. It's just funny. It's ridiculous. You know, Chico's Bell Bonds on the back of their uniforms. I mean, it's just now. There's one of the sequels. There's a couple of sequels, I think, to this, and one of them was called Bad News Bears Breaking Training, something like that. And I've heard people say that's good, but I've actually never seen that one. Have you seen that one?
I have not. They said it's the best of sequels. Yeah, that one where they all load up in the van and Kelly drives them to the Astrodome.
Something like that. Yeah, they're driving across the country or something. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe I need to see it, but again, you can't find any of these. You can't find any of these streaming, unfortunately. Now,
you figure opening day coming up, someone would have bought up the rights and put them on something, but that's disappointing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, MLB Network ought to, you know, of course, it's getting these rights is expensive, and it's not, you know, but it would seem to be a logical place. Off season at MLB Network should be just about nothing other than these movies, as far as I'm concerned. One a night. Easier said than done. Now, on my top three, A League of Their Own. Where do you stand on A League of Their Own?
Another one I saw a long time ago, probably just a few years after it came out. I liked it. I mean, I'm a huge Tom Hanks fan, not a huge Rosie O'Donnell / Madonna / Lori Petty fan, but I did like it a lot. Gina Davis was great in it.
Yeah, this is one. I think this is one of the ones for some reason. I know someone had an old VHS copy or something of it laying around, I think. And so it ended up being one of these ones that you just kind of watch over and over and over. And my brother and I watched this thing. And also, you know, it had a long run on, you know, like cable. You'd run across it on TBS or something, you know, all the time. And it's just, it's quotable. It's just, the baseball's good. Again, I don't care anything for Rosie O'Donnell or Madonna necessarily. But you know what? Their characters were annoying, but they're supposed to be annoying, frankly. But, you know, yeah, and Lori Petty was absolutely annoying as Kit, the little sister. But it all worked out. Yeah, Gina Davis as Dottie, Jimmy Dugan, Tom Hanks is Jimmy Dugan, the manager, who's just, you know, obviously there's so many quotes. So no crying in baseball is the one everyone remembers. But just to me, again, it's top three. It's classic. It's hilarious. It's you know. What's the guy's name? The Saturday Night Live guy. I can't remember his name. Well, anyway, it's his best role. But anyway, funny, love it. A League of Their Own.
So I got to ask, what's your top five manager ranking for movies?
Oh, top five managers. Well, Tom Hanks is in the top five, obviously. Jimmy Dugan. We got, what's his name from Major League, you think?
Lou Brown, definitely.
Lou Brown, right. I can't remember his name. Lou Brown.
And he'll sell you a nice set of white walls.
Exactly, right. Yeah, I had this conversation maybe with you, with someone recently, and I was trying to think of managers. I mean, you got Wilford Brimley from The Natural.
Pops Fisher.
Pops Fisher, very good, very good. The manager in 8 Men Out was the guy. He was the guy from Frasier, that show Frasier, which I never really watched, but I know who he was on.
John Mahoney, I think, is the actor.
Yeah, right. Who else you got? Who else is in the inner circle of managers? In
do we count the guy from Bull Durham? I mean, he's kind of cartoonish and over the top, but
funny. Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah,
still funny.
Yeah, I think so. What about? What's the kid's
Buttermaker.
Name? What's that?
Buttermaker from Bad News Bears.
Oh yeah, Buttermaker. I don't know if you put him in there. I mean, he literally after the last game, he opens up the cooler and is handing out beers to the kids. I mean, that's questionable.
It beats Capri Sun.
Well, that's true. I would agree. Better than a juice box. What about this one? This is out of the box type, call for a manager. What about Benny Rodriguez in The Sandlot? He's kind of the manager of that team, right? Is he? Is that going too far?
I mean, player manager, that works. I mean, he's doing defensive positioning and
hitting the fungos.
He plays every position. Yeah, he knows defensive positioning, so because he plays everybody. So yeah, I mean, he counts, I guess.
Yeah. Who's the worst manager? The dude from Little Big League.
Yeah. when you got your players doing your math homework before a one game playoff against Ken Griffey Jr. and Randy Johnson, yeah, your eyes aren't on the prize.
You don't think David Bell's doing that with the Cincinnati Reds?
I don't know if he's doing math homework, but he's definitely making sure everyone gets their three innings and so their parents don't call and complain.
That's true. He's working out the substitution patterns. I'm going to give you one here, and I don't know if you've seen it. And if you haven't, let's see, again, you can't stream it anywhere. It was on Netflix for a while, but if you haven't seen this, and this goes for everybody that's listening, if you have not seen this movie, you must see this movie. And it is named Sugar. It's from 2008. Have you seen Sugar, Joe?
I have not, and I heard it's fantastic.
5 stars. I mean, it's amazing. And essentially, the story is about this 19-year-old player from the Dominican Republic. His nickname is Sugar, obviously. And so he leaves to come to America, and he's playing minor league ball in Iowa. And it's about baseball, obviously, but it's also, you know, a kid kind of in a drop down in a culture that's unfamiliar to him, and how he navigates it. And it's just amazing. I mean, it's really, really good. I mean, it's not baseball movie good. It's movie good. And by the way, there is a real life Dominican born major leaguer in the movie. Jose Rijo. Jose Rijo. good guess. Yeah, Jose Rijo is in it. So anyway, Sugar is just I sing the praises of this movie to everyone. And I found that most people haven't seen it. I don't know how I got lucky enough to see it. It was on Netflix. I wish it would turn back up. But anyway, Sugar. You got any others that you can think of? Before we just kind of run down the list, any others that you're really desperate to talk about?
No, and unfortunately, I think I know one of the two movies that you're going to talk about, and I have not seen it. I want to guess one of your last two is going to be Moneyball.
Moneyball is... Well, I'll go ahead and give it away. It's my number one movie. You've not seen Moneyball yet?
I haven't. I've read the book when it came out, and it's one of those, like, okay, I'll watch it eventually. I'll watch it eventually, and now you can't find it like anything else. Like, none of these movies are streaming anywhere.
Moneyball recently was on Netflix. But it's
it was
for a little, because my son, that's why my son watched it for the first time, but it's not there anymore. It was only on there very briefly. You know, you're right, it's not streaming anywhere. Moneyball, oh, you got to see it. I mean, if you like the book, and I presume you like the book.
Yeah, yeah, big Michael Lewis fan.
Yeah, yeah, he's fantastic. And that book was just, it blew me away. It just absolutely blew me away. And but then, you know, you hear they're making the movie, and everybody's like, what? Come on, really? I could not conceive of any way they could have turned that book into a movie. And then you hear Brad Pitt, and you're like, wait, what? The movie is fantastic. It's really, really fantastic. You know, it's Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, Philip Seymour Hoffman. He plays manager Art Howe. Got to put him in the manager's list. Chris Pratt plays our old friend Scott Hatterberg. I don't know. It's just... It's the story of that A's team that you know, he put together with on base percentage and nothing and band aids, and it's just it's fantastic. So, are you there?
I'm picking myself that I haven't seen yet.
Okay,
yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now. Yeah, what was the other movie you said you thought that? Is there another movie that you wanted to talk about?
The other one that I think that you would put on your list is 42.
It's not in my top 10.
Okay. Okay, good. I don't feel that bad then.
Okay. So you've not seen it?
I have not. My wife's uncle is in it. It was filmed in Chattanooga, and he's a sports writer based out of Chattanooga. And he actually had a speaking part as one of the, freshmen they were interviewing him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Does he have his Screen Actors Guild card now? Exciting.
I don't think he does. He's uncredited. I looked in IMDb and he's listed but uncredited. So I don't know if he has a SAG card or not.
It's worth watching. It's not great, but it's good. You know, it's obviously the story of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, and it's Chadwick Boseman, not his best role, but he's good. He's really good. He's good in everything. But Harrison Ford is Branch Rickey, which is strange. But it's fun. I mean, it's one that my son likes, and so we've seen it a few times, and it's good. It's worth watching. All right, let's run down a few more here and see. And if you've seen it, let me know. Most of these I've seen, but I don't remember really anything about hardly. Let's see here. 61.
Long time ago.
Yeah, HBO movie. I think Billy Crystal did it.
Yeah, decent. Barry Pepper.
Yeah, Barry Pepper, yeah, right? Yeah,
forget who played Mickey Mantle.
I don't remember either, but it was fine. It was fine. What about The Battered Bastards of Baseball? Have you seen this one?
No, but I've heard about it and read a bunch of reviews, and it's pretty good.
It's good. It's really good. It's worth watching. Game 6. Have you seen Game 6? This is
no, I have not.
It's Michael Keaton, I guess. Michael Keaton. Yes. And it's just about, you know, big Mets fan, night of the game 6 of the 86 World Series. It's good. It's not necessarily a baseball movie. Cobb starring, who played Cobb? His name just Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones?
Yeah. Not great.
Yeah. It's a little better than The Babe, but
yeah, sort of in that same area. Yeah. What about For Love of the Game? This is one that people are mixed on. I've heard some people that really love For Love of the Game. Again, Kevin Costner.
I think it's one of my brother's favorites. It's Kevin Costner in a baseball movie, so you know it's going to be decent at least. But and, you know, I could pass.
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted to like it, you know, but I didn't. I really didn't love it. Here, I'm trying to find one here. Million Dollar Arm. Did you see that? I'm trying to make sure it's the one I remembered.
I did not. That's with John Hamm, isn't it?
Yeah. I had it written down here. I'm just trying to look up to make sure it's the one that I remember. I only saw it once, and I liked it. It was fine. I gave it 3.5 stars out of 5, I see here. John Hamm is a sports agent trying to save his career, so he decides to go to India and find a pitcher from cricket players in India, and it's fun. It's not bad. It's worth watching. I mean, John Hamm's good in everything. I just have to say John Hamm's in it, and my wife's up for a movie night for some reason. I don't know. All right, Fever Pitch. We mentioned it earlier, but is that one that you like?
I actually haven't seen it because I don't care for either of the stars, and it could be better than Godfather, but if I don't like who's in it, then it's hard to get past.
You know, that's funny because again, I don't care one thing either way about Jimmy Fallon, but I don't know. I don't know that I've seen a good movie Drew Barrymore's been in since E.T. You know, but I will admit I watched Fever Pitch because the author of the book, one of my favorite authors, Nick Hornby, and he actually wrote it about soccer rather than baseball, and about a garbage soccer team, Arsenal, ugh, the worst. But anyway, it's a good book, and I watched the movie, and I only watched it the one time. Again, it's not one I'm not going to revisit a Drew Barrymore joint, but I remember when I watched it, thinking, boy, this is pretty good. I enjoyed it in the moment. So you may want to consider watching it. It was fun, and it made me wish that you know, it made me want to be a Reds season ticket holder, and you know, experience what they were experiencing. But of course, the Reds don't try to win. So I would suggest watching it. Let's see here. What else do I have on the list? The Rookie. That's the one about
Jim Morris. Yeah.
Dennis
Quaid. Yeah.
80-year-old pitcher makes it to the big leagues. Something like that. It's pretty good though, right? It was fine.
It would be better if someone besides Disney made it, so it wouldn't be corny like him throwing past the speed gun on the highway, and he throws 95, but the reads 75 or so. You know,
right.
Just too Disney corny, but you know, it not bad. Definitely watchable, but
yeah, that's a good point. The Disneyfication of that is maybe questionable, but pretty good. But pretty good, I thought. Let's see. Here's one that I feel like we need to at least mention. Ken Burns' baseball documentary. Have you seen any or all of that?
I've seen all, but what was the last one that he came out with a couple years ago? Like the extra innings or whatever?
Yeah, 10th inning, I think they called it.
I haven't seen the, but yeah, I watched the, saw the rest of them whenever it came out. Was it 94 or whatever?
Yeah. That hit me, you know, I was a huge, I'm still a huge baseball fan, but I remember that came out. I was so excited and, ended up getting them on VHS, and for a number of years, up until I got married, spring training every year, I would just basically turn them on every night as I was going to bed. I'd fall asleep to the baseball documentary every night as spring training rolled around. This is how insufferable a baseball fan I am. But you know, somebody said they're on Amazon Prime now. I don't know. I haven't seen. I got the Blu-rays now, so you know, we've watched them, but. It's good. It's not accurate, but it's still good if you love baseball. And my son learned a lot about the early days of baseball from that, me forcing him to sit and watch. I'm an awful father. Right, last movie I want to mention, and then if there's any that you have, let me know, but The Pride of the Yankees. Have you seen The Pride of the Yankees, Gary Cooper as Lou Gehrig?
I have not, only because I expect it to be very... I won't say contrived, but again, just sappy and overwrought.
Yes, it is, and it's so good. I almost put it in my top 10. I mean, the baseball's not great. Gary Cooper can't really play baseball, and he doesn't look like Lou Gehrig. And it's completely, you know, obviously they had the real life speech from Gehrig to use that up the sappiness factor. But it's good. It's really good. You know, I would encourage you if you ever find it to watch that one. All right, Joe.
You're also a closeted Yankees fan too. So I mean that probably adds to the value for you.
Dude, really? Come on. Yeah. I can't argue with you. Everybody claims I'm a secret Yankees fan. I got to have one team that tries to win. I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm a Reds fan. All right. Any other movies that we've not touched on that we should?
Not that I can think of. I think we've hit pretty much the entire repertoire that everyone's heard of, at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's some others that I haven't seen that you haven't seen probably, and there's a ton of baseball movies, a bunch of bad ones, but there's this. I'm gonna give you my top 10, and then if you want to give us a list of yours or however you want to tell me what your list looks like, you can. Let me quickly my top 10. Everybody Wants Some at number 10, Bull Durham at number 9, Sandlot at number 8, Major League 7, number 6, 8 Men Out. Now my top 5, Bad News Bears at 5, Field of Dreams at 4, League of Their Own at 3, Sugar at 2, and Moneyball at 1. Doesn't that make you want to watch Moneyball and Sugar, my top 2?
Sure. I mean, your opinion has nothing to do with it, but yeah, of course I'll watch it.
you've never once paid any attention to any of my opinions. I get that. I accept it. What's your list? Can you give us some sense of what the top of your list looks like?
Let's see. Starting from 5, we'll probably go with probably Natural, then Major League, Everybody Wants Some, Sandlot, and Field of Dreams. And then a whole bunch of them kind of clustered between 6 and 15.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. So what I'm hearing here is 3 movies that Moneyball, a lot of people saw that, but Sugar and Everybody Wants Some, I think, are a couple that maybe are less seen that I think, certainly in the case of Everybody Wants Some, with 2 exclamation points, we'll agree, people need to go watch that. It's if you like Dazed and Confused, you're going to love it, I think. And who doesn't like Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, so. It's great. Both of them.
Yep. Well, Joe, this was fun. What's that?
As a double feature, throw them both on back to back.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Okay. So, Joe, any thoughts? This has been fun.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to doing this. So, definitely enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. I think we've decided now that it's clear that that you are far more talented at talking about baseball and baseball related topics than me. We're going to have to get you back on at some point. I appreciate you taking some time, and we'll do it again.
All right. Thanks a lot, Chad.
See you, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app, and join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.